Good morning. How good it is to join together in a spirit of worship on this third Sunday of Advent, the Sunday when we lift up the gift that is joy, the joy of the season, the joy of Christ that we anticipate. And it is with joy that we welcome you to worship this morning. It is important that all of you know, whether this is your first time visiting with us here at St. John's or not your first time worshiping here with us at St. John's, that no matter who you are, and no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are, and most importantly, to share God's love with you. So welcome. I do have a few important announcements to share. You'll notice in your bulletin that your list of things between now and the new year is growing ever shorter as we move through the season. There are still some reminders, some important things to keep in mind for the next few days, particularly the next week, as we move to the week before Christmas. There's information on here about our Wednesday evening longest night service, some important information so you can get a sense of what that night will look like. A note that there is dinner beforehand from 5 to 7, so make an evening of it and join us for a special worship service at 7 here in the sanctuary. There's information about our Christmas Eve services happening at 10:15 a.m. and 10:15 p.m. next Sunday. And there's also some information about our New Year's Eve service, which will take place as it normally does on a Sunday morning, but a little bit of a special focus that day as it is New Year's Eve. So just pay attention to those things happening this week. I want to remind you, perhaps some of you have seen it or grabbed one on your way out, but the 2024 offering envelopes as well as the 2024 church activity calendars are available. The envelopes are in the back in the narthex. There's calendars back there as well, but if you're just looking to grab a calendar, they're kind of scattered all over the building, but there's definitely some out in the elevator lobby if you head out that direction. Just a reminder with the offering envelopes, that is a great indicator for us. It helps us know how to order next year, so please take them, and if you see one for a family member, grab one of them for them as well. The less that we waste, and then we know better how to order for next year, so it just helps us in the office. So very grateful for your grabbing of those. All right, let's look at my list here. In your bulletin, there's also the poinsettia donation order form. Just a reminder that those poinsettias, in addition to adorning our space beautifully for Christmas Eve and the Christmas season, they also then get shared with our homebound members as members of our congregation go to visit them. So they're being spread far and wide. So if you're interested in providing a donation for those poinsettias, there is an opportunity to do that in your bulletin this morning. I believe those are all of my announcements. I do want to invite Matt Carson forward to do our final announcement.
Good morning. Thanks. As the treasurer of St. John's, I just wanted to take some time this morning to provide an overview of our current financial state and a reminder on the end of year timeline for giving. As we close out the year for 2023, we are expecting a significant shortfall in income of at least $20,000. We will continue to operate as usual, and we have funds available to offset this predicted loss. Our low income is due to less than expected tithes and offerings, particularly in November, where we fell quite short of what was forecasted. With this in mind, I'd like to remind everyone that the last day to give to St. John's for the financial year of 2023 will be Christmas Day, with the last service to provide offering for the current year being Christmas Eve, 1 week from today. Any tithes and offerings donated after Christmas Day will be counted towards 2024 for income. So again, the last service you can actually donate will be Christmas Eve, as the office is closed on Christmas Day. As you consider giving to St. John's, please keep this important timetable in mind and be sure to have any tithes and offerings you wish to be applied to our current year in by the Christmas Eve service. Donations can of course be made through one of our offering plates. You can also choose to donate electronically through EasyTithe, and you can find a QR code in your bulletin for this. I invite you to find me or Grace Bruin, our financial chair, after service, should you have any questions or concerns, or if you need a more detailed explanation than this. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. All right. Well, there is a spirit of joy in this place, so I invite us to take a moment to catch our breath. So perhaps breathe in, join me as we breathe in God's spirit, God's joy that fills this place. And then as we exhale, we consciously and thoughtfully set aside the announcements to remember, all the things on our to-do list, the many things that are begging for our attention. Put them in another part of your brain. They will be there when you get back to them. But for now, we focus our hearts and our minds, and we lift our voices in a spirit of worship this morning. Please stand and join me as we share our call to worship together. In the height of our Advent journey, we gather to worship and to consider the gift of joy. We are choosing to center our lives around the light of joy. We light this candle today to symbolize the joy that comes when we recognize and rely upon God as our strength, our hope, and our source of all love. We anticipate the day when joy is born among us, and even amid the cheer of this season, we long for a joy that stays and lasts and abides with us. Grant us the courage and mindfulness to seek and experience that which is deeper and fuller than happiness, true joy. May our worship today inspire joy in the face of whatever lies ahead. Come, let us worship in the light of joy. Amen. I invite you to join me as together we confess our sins by praying the prayer that is in our bulletins. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come to you this day in need of the gift that we celebrate on this third Sunday of Advent, the gift of joy. As we scurry around making last-minute preparations for Christmas, the temptation to give into the stress, anxiety, and hurriedness of this season is strong. In the midst of this, we pause to think of Mary, who could have very easily given into worry and fear, but instead held fast to joy and bore your son Jesus into a chaotic and broken world. We think of John the Baptist, who shifts our focus from frantic purchasing of gifts for the coming of Christmas to thoughtful preparation of our hearts for the coming of Christ. Forgive us for seeking happiness in shallow places, and help us to embrace the deep, abiding joy that can only come from a certain knowledge of your love for us and your hope for the world. Amen. Friends, the source of our joy is God's abundant grace. When we confess our sins, when we ask for God's help to see things not as we see them, but as God sees them, we are met with understanding, with mercy, and with love. We are forgiven, loved, and set free from the need to always be happy, so that we might experience the joy of life in and through Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. This morning's scripture comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. This text is fascinating. Luke, the author, begins by giving some context. The most powerful rulers in the world are mentioned first. The most powerful religious leaders are mentioned second. And then what amounts to be a nobody proclaims a radical and bold announcement. Hear these words. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Thus ends the reading of the word. Well, I'd like to invite the children to come forward. If you want to come up, I'd like to chat with you a little bit. Good morning. Good morning. Have a seat. Just have a seat around me. Yeah. All right. There we go. Well, good morning. Good morning, everyone. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been lost? Have you ever gotten lost? No, you've been pretty lucky, huh? Have you ever gotten lost? Maybe a little bit? Well, I have to tell you a story about my brother. My brother and I, well, we were in a group called Boy Scouts. And we were out in the woods, in the wilderness. I mean, we were really out there. And my brother got lost. He totally didn't know where he was. And, well, we were back at our camp, and we got very, very upset. And how do you think that made my brother feel? Like, He was probably afraid, right? Yeah, he was definitely afraid. He didn't know where he was. And so our Boy Scout troop went out into the woods. We went out into the wilderness, and we went looking for him. And guess what? After a while, we found him. We found him, and he was so happy to see us. Now, I want to tell you what God does for us, okay? Believe it or not, we're not perfect people. Are we perfect people? No. Anybody here perfect? Just a show of hands. Okay. So we know that we're not perfect people, are we? We get lost. We lose our way. And guess who is coming to look for us? Jesus. Jesus is coming to look for us and find us. Isn't that cool? So while Jesus is coming to look for us, we have to take some things with us while we're in the wilderness. Because we don't know when Jesus is going to exactly find us. He will find us. But there are some things, there are four things that we take with us while Jesus is looking for us. Any idea what those things might be? Love. Okay, wait a minute. Love, right? So you see the banner up there? Definitely, we have got to take love with us when we're out in the wilderness, right? Anything else? Hope. There's the hope banner. We've got to have hope. We've got to have hope when we're out in the wilderness, right? My brother had to have hope that someone would find him, and he did. What else?
Joy.
Now, that's profound. I want to tell you what joy is. Joy is this sense that we have that everything's going to be okay. You know what I mean? It's not like happiness. It's a feeling inside that everything's going to be okay and we're going to be found. Well, what's the last thing? What's the last thing we need while we're out in the... We need peace. Do you know why we need peace? Because when we're out in the wilderness, when Jesus is looking for us, we're afraid. My brother was very afraid. Oh, actually, he was crying when we found him. And peace is the thing that we need. We need to stay calm. We can't panic, right? Can't panic if we're lost. We have to trust God. So that's what today's lesson is really about. It's about our not being perfect. And sometimes we get lost. We lose our way. We don't know where we're going in life. And we have to carry. What are the four things we have to carry? You tell me. There you go. Love, hope, joy, and peace. That's good news, isn't it? I'm glad you came up with me today. Okay, so let's say a prayer, and then we will end with the Lord's Prayer. Gracious God, each and every one of us, well, we're not perfect. We get off track. We get lost. We lose our way. And we're thankful that Jesus is coming to find us. He is coming to rescue us. And so we give thanks. And we pray this prayer he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for coming up. and have a wonderful, wonderful day.
I invite you to join me in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, as we think about what it means to be prepared and preparing, I pray that your word might be in the midst of mine, and that that word might fall upon ears and hearts and minds that are open to hear it, to live it. Amen. This past week, I had the opportunity to visit with one of our homebound members. And as usual, we had some tea. We got carried away in conversation. I love hearing all of your stories. And the stories I heard during this particular visit didn't disappoint. In fact, one in particular has stuck with me, especially considering John the Baptist's words in our scripture reading this morning. Years ago, Jean, who I went to visit, and I don't think she would mind me telling you this story, found herself visiting a dear friend of her mother, whose name was Mary. Now, Mary had endured some hardships in life, but she had finally found a peaceful spot at Peter Becker to live out the rest of her days. Now, Mary was a woman of deep faith, and as so many do, as their body begins to fail and their time on this earth comes to an end, Mary was ready to go. In fact, Mary was so ready to meet God and to enter into his eternal care that once, when Jean went to visit her, she found Mary, still very much alive, but playing dead, for lack of a better term, laying in bed with arms folded, body still, eyes closed, ready to go, so to speak, hoping that by getting into proper position, as she saw it, God might come just a bit sooner. The nurses confirmed that this is how they found Mary more often than not. She was nothing if not prepared. Well, you can imagine what happened when Jean came upon this scene, and she told Mary sternly, amidst some laughter, I imagine, "That's not how God works, Mary. When God is ready, God will come. And in the meantime, we've got things to do." Now, I give Mary some credit because she was waiting, and waiting is hard. And in her defense, we are urged in Scripture, like our lesson for today, to make a way for God. Mary was, in her own way, making a way for God to come and meet her. But I think Jean got it. When God is ready, God will come. And rarely does God follow our agenda or our preferred timeline. But even more than that, Jean got it right. We do have things to do. Now, I tell this story because it reminded me of what it means to be in a posture of readiness. Now, Mary's posture was quite literally ready for God, and that's not quite what I'm talking about here, but I do wonder how our lives, our hearts, our spirits can be in a posture of preparation, not just for Christmas morning with gifts wrapped and cookies baked, but prepared to welcome God in a way that John the Baptist talks about in our scripture reading this morning. It's one of those images in the Bible that literally comes alive if you've ever visited a desert. This image from Isaiah of constructing a road through a desolate and barren land. "Clear the road for the Lord," he says. "Prepare a highway across the desert for our God." Now, this might not be our idea of preparation for the coming of God, but let me tell you, for a desert nomad, I imagine it would have seemed like heaven on earth for the valleys to be lifted up and the mountains and hills to be made low. No more hard climbs or daring descents, no bandits hiding in the valleys or wolves around the bend. According to Isaiah, the way of the Lord is flat and straight and delightful and safe. It's this same message that John the Baptist proclaimed 600 years later, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." You see, both Isaiah and John are waiting for something to happen. Both trust that something will happen, and both know that some prep work needs to be done to get ready. Valleys need to be lifted up, mountains and hills made low, rough places and uneven ground smoothed out. It's the image of building a runway, a landing strip for God on this earth. And our question this morning is, how do we take this vivid but ancient image and apply it to us here and now? Well, certainly it's true that we, like Isaiah and John, are waiting for something. Something more than Christmas morning, although I know that's what's on all of our minds right now. But there is within each of us a waiting. A true longing. If not for the coming of the Lord like Mary, then for something else. For love. For restored health. for our children to grow, for the storm of grief to pass, for meaningful work, for peace in our families, our nations, our world. We're all waiting for something. And that's what makes Isaiah and John's words for us, too, because they, like us, yearn for something better, something more. For Isaiah, it was the revealed glory of God, whatever that meant for him. For John, he was waiting for the one who would come after him, the one who was mightier than he. Neither one knew any of the details, not who or what or when or where. Like Jean said, when God is ready, God will come. All they knew for sure was that the old way of life was passing away and new life was on its way, and that in the meantime, there was prep work to do, some serious getting ready work. And at the very least, that meant clearing away anything that might get in the way. And let's face it, lots gets in the way. We are constantly looking to everything that is not God to fill us, to satisfy us, and even to save us. And what is surprising is how incredibly sneaky and deceptive some of those idols can be. We can all agree about the really bad stuff that we know can overtake our lives, but what about idols that aren't so obvious? What about the idol of independence? The belief that everything will be good if we can just take care of ourselves and not have to ask anyone else for help? What about the idol of the past that tells us that if we just went backwards, if we kept everything the way that it was and refused to change, then we would be comfortable and safe and things would be nice and easy? What about the idol of good reputation or being well-liked? Or the idol of accomplishment and success in our career, the idol of fitness and vanity, the idol of money, or perhaps the most deceptive of all, the idol of religion, that belief that if we go to church and pay our dues, we are good with God. Now, don't get me wrong, all of these things can be good and noble. How can these be idols, you might be asking? Of course they are good and noble. That's how they become idols. They are good things and people and experiences that make us happy and in so many ways nourish us, body and soul. So much so that we come to love them and depend on them and prioritize them above everything else, even our relationship with God, as if they are the source of life itself, when God is the source of life. And as if they save us when it is God who saves us. And eventually, we are so full with all of these things that there is no space left for anything, let alone Christ. When God is looking for a place to dwell, the room is crammed full of other stuff. So here we are, 1 week before Christmas, and both Isaiah and John are inviting us to join them in getting ready. Not to forsake all the things we love and want for our lives, but to put them in their proper place in light of Christ. And that means taking a hard look at them, naming them, learning to hold them lightly, not clutching on for dear life, and being willing to give them up or make them smaller when it becomes clear that they are taking up too much room. One of our favorite Christmas carols says it best, "Let every heart prepare him room." So, is there room? What is taking up space in your heart? Is it taking up too much space? What needs to go first to clear out space for Christ to be born? Do you need to ditch resentment, fear, pride, bitterness, greed, negativity? I always chuckle a bit because John's words about roads made straight and potholes filled and bumpy patches smoothed out sounds like a to-do list for PennDOT. But it really is an invitation, an evaluation, an orientation for us. What paths in our lives need to be made straight? What valleys need to be filled in? What mountains within us need to be brought down? What rough places need to be smoothed? Like the questions we often ask as winter weather hits, how are the roads? How are the roads that lead to our hearts? Will Christ be able to enter in and make a way? Advent is a holy, and I might add messy, invitation to ask, to think, to ponder, to repent, to turn around, to clear a different road, to be in a posture of preparation, to prepare the way for the coming of God Himself to those who saved Him room. When God is ready, God will come. And in the meantime, we've got things to do. Amen.
We come to that time together when we acknowledge the joys and the uncertainties, the struggles, the ways we've been blessed, an opportunity to share with God our deepest, deepest selves. Before we pray, I want to update you on some news from our congregation. We want to wish Bonnie Moyer happy birthday today. That's certainly a celebration. And we'd like to let you know that very early this past week, Jean McKinstry Rogers passed away. Jean had been a very long-time member here at St. John's. And if you're able to join us here on Wednesday, there will be a time of visitation at 11 a.m., followed by a 12 noon worship service, a service in which we will celebrate Jean and the resurrection to eternal life. I'd also like to let you know that Wendy O'Connor recently had surgery, and she is at home recovering, and we continue to keep both she and Rick and their entire family in our prayers. Let us now open our hearts in prayer. O gracious God, Lord of all creation, we once again await the arrival of Jesus Christ into our hearts. It is a time, God, that you're asking us, just how are our roads? Just how sturdy are our pathways into your heart, God? And so during this time of preparation, may your grace and confidence empower us to take a look at ourselves and prepare for the one who loves us beyond all measure. O God, the birth of Christ is the signal of a new narrative. God, we live in the dominant script of our society, one where money and power and prerogative and force and might makes right seem to be the norms. And yet, O God, what you are teaching us is that love and hope, joy and peace are the true marks of power. And so help us live into those realities. God, as we survey the world on this Sunday morning, we think of places like Israel and Gaza. We think of Jews and Palestinians. We think of the destruction. We are reminded of the rubble and the dust, the death, the uncertainty. And so, God, we pray for peace in that region of the world which right now is so fragile. And God, here we pray for our cities here, our hamlets, our villages, our towns, and our families. This morning, we pray for the family of Jean McKinstry Rogers as they walk through the valley of grief.
and the shadow of sadness. We pray for Wendy O'Connor's healing. God, we give thanks for the anniversary of birth, Bonnie Moyers. And so, Lord, allow us to take these moments now in silence to share with you whatever needs to be shared, whatever needs to be said, whatever needs to be felt. We pray all of these things, claiming Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen. It's kind of a silly thing, but I get great joy and excitement by sticking an envelope on my trash bin in December, as I remember the folks who work so hard to collect our rubbish. I do the same thing for our recycling people. I just love doing that kind of giving. And I know you, in your own way, find those, you know, those moments when giving is just, it feels so right. And it must feel so right to be able to give to God, knowing that something very big is underway. A world that is in deep need, that is slowly but surely being restored. And so this morning we receive our gifts, offerings, and tithes.
Good and loving God, there is indeed great joy in giving. There is even more joy in dedicating our giving, dedicating our concrete, tangible gifts to you, to the work you have called us to do as a church, as a community, as a world. God, grant us integrity, grant us vision, grant us wisdom, grant us joy as we seek to use these gifts in ways that further your kingdom, that lower mountains and raise up valleys, that create a way for you in the world. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Before you go this morning, I do hope that with joy and peace and love and hope, you will greet one another, share the peace of Christ with one another, the peace that is ours through the coming of Christ. Head downstairs and join us for a time of fellowship, and there's some goodies to share. And then as you go out into the world, the last week before Christmas, may you be ever preparing. And may you know that the love of God, the hope and joy of the coming Christ, and the peace of God's Holy Spirit goes with you and stays with you this day and every day. Amen.